Good morning. I'm Mary, and you're listening to Lifestyle Tucson, a program where I speak with nonprofit groups and organizations, finding out how they serve the community and getting updates on current projects. For today's show, I am sharing a recent conversation I had with Michelle Wright, Executive Director and co-founder of Spreading Threads.
Well, let's kind of start at the beginning. Spreading Threads, tell me about how long you've been around and what you do.
Well, first of all, what we do, so Spreading Threads Clothing Bank is a clothing bank free of charge to foster adopted kinship families here in Arizona. We primarily focus on Southern Arizona just because we're here, but that's what we do. Spreading Threads has officially on paperwork been around 4.5 years, but I've actually been doing this clothing bank for around 13 years.
Oh, okay.
Before it became more official and all these executive type titles and things like that.
Okay. Well, tell me a bit about that, you know, 13 year ago start and what got you started banking clothes for foster families.
Right. I had adopted two boys out of foster care. Well, they were both very little, but I got a call from DCS after I'd adopted these two little boys, and I think my boys were probably like 6 and 3 now at this point. And they asked about my younger son, did you adopt this child? I'm like, yes. And they're like, well, he has a sister. And we close at 5. Can you come get her?
It's like, oh, wow.
And it was 3:15. And I'm like, what? Like, everybody else gets like about 9 months to get this figured out. And I had like 90 minutes or something like that. So we all go over there. We're all fighting in the car. We get this little girl. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, and thank God I had had all these. I live on a cul-de-sac that had my neighbors had just had babies. Like I had two neighbors. So I didn't have anything. I didn't have cribs. I didn't know how to do anything, like nothing. So they were able to provide me all of these things on a moment's notice. And I was just thinking, I'm like, I don't imagine this resource is in place for everybody that is in this situation, not just with a baby, but any foster kids. You know, and my other boys didn't come with a lot either, but that moment was so stark to me, because especially because babies have so many needs. And right about that time too was when we were really hitting that rough recession in the 08 time, and our then governor at the time, foster parents used to get $300 a year to clothe your child, and that's it, which is
that's not a lot for clothing,
right?
A child. Wow.
It's ridiculous. So it was cut to 150, and that is where it remains today. And it's woefully inadequate. I mean, if you just even think about that for a minute, forget about a baby, but take a teenager. $150 to get their socks, shoes, underwear, everything, jeans, shirt, for the year.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I was like, this surely doesn't work. Like, there must be things in place to help supplement this. And there really weren't. So I just got this idea, and I thought, well, I'm going to see what I can do. Seems simple enough. You just collect some things. It's no big deal. So 13 years later, and here we are. And I decided to break off to become Spreading Threads. I mean, I had been doing it under another name, but I just felt like I needed to dedicate my full time to it, because I used to be in the business world and do this on the side. And it was clear to me that that wasn't enough, that I needed to dedicate all my time and energy to this. And obviously, that's a massive pay cut. But I just felt this calling that this needed to happen.
Definitely a leap of faith to take yourself out of, you know, the income world to yourself to service.
Yeah, no, and it's just, and I quickly learned that the nonprofit world, it marches to the beat of an entirely different drummer than what I was used to. There's a lot more layers and things and paperwork, and sometimes it's fast and it's often very slow, so I had to teach myself all of that. I wasn't working for a company. Like, everything stopped and started and stopped and started with me. So I really had to own learning all these things that I was used to having other infrastructure take care of. So that was kind of rough, but I did it, you know. But it's been exciting because we've been able to qualify for certain tax credits and things like that. And it also allows me the opportunity to really dial in to what is needed now. Not what I think people need, but I spend a lot of time networking with other nonprofits that are connected to the foster care community. I've volunteered on boards. I'm on boards now because this world of foster care is constantly changing legally and in other respects as well. So if you don't keep your finger on the pulse all the time, you need these continuous feedback channels, you may be not providing what is needed or causing more trouble. I realized very early on I had sign-in sheets where I had genders listed, and I didn't list more than male, female. And I got some feedback from the group home kids that they didn't identify as those things. And that can be very triggering, especially for a kid that's going through trauma. So we make those adjustments based on the feedback we get in real time. So I can have all the different, you know, categories of what they identify as.
Yeah.
And speak their language, because I'm here to serve. I'm not here to judge.
Yeah, you definitely have to adapt with, you know, what you learn
right.
in your process. And so you had mentioned kinship foster. Yes. Can you elaborate on that? I personally am unfamiliar with what that means.
Like any government world, there's lots of acronyms.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
You know, so actually kinship is anyone that has a relationship with the child.
Okay.
And I actually became a kinship. Well, I was kinship because I got the sister of one of mm-hmm. my child. But anyway, it's anyone that has a relationship with the kiddo. Oftentimes it's a relative, like a grandmother. That's a really common placement for kids to go to.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably number one, I would say. Aunts, uncles, but neighbors, teachers. I have adopted a child because my significant other was the child's nurse at
oh,
school.
Wow.
So it, the postman, anyone that has a relationship with this child can be a kinship placement. And
okay.
Those folks are not licensed foster parents. They can become them. But they get even less resources than licensed foster parents.
Okay.
Much less.
So tell me a bit about the work of foster parents and becoming a foster parent, because clearly it's something that you're very passionate about.
Yeah.
And how long have you been fostering kids?
Well, my oldest is now 20.
Okay.
And I got him when he was one, so that gives you
kind of
an idea. I've had my license renewed a couple times because I was like, oh, I'm not doing this anymore. And you know, everyone that says that, and then you renew and you get another kiddo. But almost 20 years, you know, mm-hmm. right in that neighborhood. I mean, there's been lots of changes. But now in Arizona, the licensing process, it used to be done by the state. But there's actually agencies now that will license foster parents. And when I was talking about kinship families, I highly encourage them to get licensed. And it takes somewhere between 3 and 5 months. But you get training, you get services, you get more money. There's a lot mm-hmm. of things that you get. Getting licensed, and it's desperately needed. We've got somewhere around 15,000 kids right now in the we call the system in Arizona in foster care, and there's I don't even know if there's 3,000 licensed
oh wow
anymore. So if you do that math, there's a big gap there.
Absolutely. So you had mentioned some different organizations that you kind of work with in developing what you do. Can you tell me a bit more about some of those partnerships?
Clothes are great, means to an end, but I don't believe that they're going to move the needle. So what I've intentionally done is tried to, because I know that I can only provide this one thing. And the easier that you can make it and the safer you can make it for folks, they'll access other resources. And there's those non-tangibles like, you know, support groups and those sorts of things. Well, I happen to have this physical resource, clothes. You got to come and get it. You can't mm-hmm. just do something online. You got to come. So there's a couple of organizations in particular that come to my monthly events, and I have them there for these families. One of them is Aviva Family Services. They've been around a lot longer. They're here in Tucson, and they're amazing. They have amazing programs that support kids in foster care. They have support groups, all kinds of amazing things. So they provide services that I don't. So while they're there signing in to get clothes, I'm like, hey, if you need help with, they're right here. They can do all these great things for you. And then similarly, DCS actually attends my events, the kinship unit. So when a kid is removed and placed in a kinship family member, that's done by a different department within DCS. So the kinship unit doesn't always know about these kiddos. Or these families, because their job is to stay with that family and support them for the first, I think it is 90 days. They're not investigators or anything. They're there to help you succeed as mm-hmm. a kinship placement, which is hard when you're a 70-year-old grandma and you suddenly have little kids again. So having those groups right there present, folks think they're coming just to get clothes, and they leave with like all these other resources and things they didn't even know existed, which are actually far more valuable than what I provide. So that's just an example of some of the things I even created, and we just bought a building, a little seating area, and real estate is, I don't want to give up any real estate to store things, but we have a seating area, soft seating area, so if, you know, someone comes in and they have this need, I can be like, you know what, go over there and talk to Catherine, sit down, see what they can do to help you. You know, I'm mm-hmm. not going to make someone stand at the front desk and be like, so, there's this drug issue, you know, or whatever. They can go and have a safe, private conversation. And it's worked out really well because I've known a lot of these foster parents for a long time. I've built relationships with them so they trust me. So then I can go, hey, trust me, man, this is a good thing.
Absolutely.
So the networking is huge, especially when you're grassroots like us. Yeah. They don't provide everything.
That was Michelle Wright, the executive director and co-founder of Spreading Threads. I'm Mary, and you're listening to Lifestyle Tucson.
You spoke of your monthly events. Will you expand a little bit on that? And obviously, this is going to be open. It's open for people in need. Is it do people sign up, or I guess how does that work?
Yeah. So we have once a month events. There's the second Saturday of every month. There's no signing up from 9 to 1, but anyone that's a foster family, adoptive, a kinship family, they can come and we sign them in. But they can get free clothes, shoes, socks, toys, underwear, books, you name it. The other thing that I do is I do actually emergency polls, which I do pretty often. So that is a kid that was newly placed with someone and they can't wait 3 weeks or whatever. I often meet DCS workers that have removed kids, or I get a lot of calls from group home staff, which is where a lot of our teenagers are, that they got a new kiddo, or even from the foster parents themselves or the kinship families. I've even had juvenile courts attorneys now that know about me and said, I have this case and I know this family needs something, so that's kind of cool. And then I meet them there. I stock new socks, shoes, and underwear for that reason. And new in that court. I mean, someday I'd ultimately love to go new all the way. But those kids, I can get them things that they need right away without having to go without socks or underwear, new socks or underwear for 2 days. So we try to do that. And I do those all the time. Sadly, that number has greatly increased. But I purposely bought a building that was within 5 minutes of my house so I could just shoot over there and get it and do it in real time, because I don't like people to have to wait. And that's one of the great things about this new partnership we have with Arizona Helping Hands in Phoenix is they've been around a lot longer than we have. And when I found out about them, they're now supplementing a lot of new clothes to me so that I don't have to use so much of my small budget to buy those new clothes. I mean, it's really a game changer for us.
Yeah. Tell me a bit more about this new partnership with Arizona Helping Hands.
Super exciting.
Yeah. And if anyone who's unfamiliar, would just give kind of a brief of who Arizona Helping Hands is as well.
Yep. So Arizona Helping Hands is a nonprofit based out of Phoenix, Arizona. They've been around, I guess, around 25 years. And they have a similar mission to mine with serving foster kinship families. They have more programs, and they're a lot larger because they've been around a long time. But I jumped on a call, I think it was back in late October, early November, and it's a group called One for All, and we formed during COVID, and it was formed to, it's all nonprofits that support kids in foster care throughout the state, and we were trying to come up with ideas on how to mobilize during COVID to get resources to families when we're not open. So that's kind of what that was, and we had online forms where people could submit for help based on where they were located, and then we would get together and try to get them whatever they needed. But we kind of continued the calls even after COVID kind of wound down. And it was usually mostly Phoenix people, so I was like, I don't know. But that day, I'm like, you know, I'm going to jump on and just see what's going on. And I had heard of Arizona Helping Hands, but because they're not in Pima County, I never fully paid attention. You know, I live here.
Yeah.
And they had a new gal there named Brandy, and their CEO, I think it's Maureen Wuron, talking about they have a lot of excess after COVID in their 15,000 square foot warehouse, and they need to get rid of it before all their holiday stuff came in. And they like to get rid of it and give it away, but they wanted it to go to other foster care groups first. And of course, I was like, what kind of stuff?
Yeah.
You know, like, so that started this whole thing, and I actually drove up and met with them, and they're very interested in expanding down here. But when they started, impression was that when they started looking, they realized, wow, Tucson's pretty cool. They have a couple of nonprofits, myself and a couple others, that are very established with this foster care community. Maybe it's just better for us to support them in the gaps that they have, maybe financially with stuff or whatever, and just help support that community that way instead of building their own brick and mortar location. So that's kind of how this started. And so I went up, Aviva went up with me, and we realized this is an amazing thing. And the next week, I went up with a huge U-Haul, and we stuffed it with brand-new clothes, toys. I mean, just I could never pay for all this stuff with my little nonprofit. So it's just exciting. We're going to meet back in January to really formalize how often and what this really looks like. But it's definitely going to be an ongoing thing, and it's for spreading threads, it's a game changer, like I said, because most of the money that we get goes to buying new clothes and just paying for the building, you know, and our electric and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. But now that we don't have to spend so much money on all those new clothes, we could spend it on other categories like coats and nicer shoes. And we try to buy things on sale, and things like shoes and jeans very rarely go on sale.
Right.
So then we'll have more money to fill in those gaps, and then improvements for our building and programs like that. So this is just like finding a diamond, you know?
Right.
Like, you always wish some famous celebrity would just be like, here's $3 million.
Yeah.
Or you could have Arizona Helping Hand, so I'll take it, man. So we're excited. And we have a similar thought process and how we go about serving. It's kind of cool. Like, they're all women up there, and we're all women down here running these groups. And we just really meshed well and had a very similar selflessness about what we do. Myself and the groups I'm associated with, and now Arizona Helping Hands, we just want to serve these children. That's the priority. It's just cool to be in a group like that with a very mutual understanding of how to go out.
Yeah, and definitely service. a common goal you're working towards.
Yep.
And so you did mention how, you know, now with this Arizona Helping Hands, and you would also purchase new, but do you also accept donations? Because kids grow so fast. I think about, like, you know, they'll wear it once and then they're too tall.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
No, for sure. Yeah, we take gently used clothing. Mm-hmm. We only take new socks, underwear, bras, you know, swimsuits, undergarments, and gently used. And I always try to explain this to people, but one of the best ways is to, if you're not sure about if you want to donate something, hold it up. Imagine there's a kid standing right there. Would you feel good handing it to them to wear? And if there's any ounce of hesitation, don't do it. Because we're very picky with our used stuff. I feel like it's a message. Kids really want to feel good in their own clothes.
Right.
And they're already struggling with such huge issues. The least I can do is remove that stigma of having to wear something that's too big or dirty or holes. Anything that we can do to remove those obstacles, because believe me, there's plenty more right behind them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the plan.
You know, and I think that's great, because, like, I saw on your website, under your motto is foster dignity in Southern Arizona's foster children, that definitely having the dignity in what you wear, feeling confident.
And just who you are. Yeah, we make our events really fun. There's music. It's like a party in there. I don't ever want it to feel like a warehouse. I don't ever want it to feel like charity.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to feel special. I mean, if we don't wrap around these children in our community now, we'll pay later.
Mm-hmm.
And they deserve this dignity. Like, can you imagine going out being 18 and not feeling good about yourself?
Right. It's hard enough being 18.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. It's horrible.
Yeah.
But just at the very least, let's set them up for success as best we can.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we should do. Like, if we ignore this segment of our population that's big, we'll pay.
Mm-hmm.
We will. And it's going to be a big price to pay. I heard some stat, and I don't know if it's true or not, but they were saying 9 out of 10 folks in prison right now touched the foster care system in some way. And I was just floored by that statistic. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that isn't enough to think, holy bananas, we should put more money into this. These are human beings. I really hope with our new governor we get more money in to these services that were never returned back to where they should have been in the first place. Like, that $300 is ridiculous, but that was over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's been $150 since. And think of the inflation right now.
Right.
I mean, if we want these kinship families to take these children, and there's already so many emotions involved with that, the least we can do is support them financially to have enough to support these kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the plan.
Speaking of financials, it's kind of a great little segue. I didn't realize that you have had been a qualifying foster
charitable organization.
Yes. I know the QFCO.
Yes, that's it. That's
it. You've had it for 2 years now.
Actually, a little over three. But
over three. Yeah, even more than I thought.
Yeah.
So tell me a bit about that and how it impacts and how it works.
Oh, yeah. It's huge for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I will just say this again. We absolutely could not exist without this QFCO. So it's a state tax credit. It's a dollar-for-dollar match. If when you go in and do your taxes, you owe money to the state, you can either just blindly write a check to the state of Arizona, and I guarantee you most of that money would probably stay up there in Maricopa County, or you can divert those credits to a charity of your choice. And there's several different tax credits. There's the QFCO, which I'm part of.
there's regular QCOs, and there's the school tax credits. And you can actually donate to all four. Mm-hmm. And if you pay over or you didn't owe that much, you can carry it over for 5 years till you use it up. But what it is, as a single filing, you can do $500 to a QFCO or $1,000 if you are married and file jointly. And the other tax credits have different dollar amounts. But it's literally free. It's a dollar-for-dollar match. You owe the state $250. You can write Spreading Threads a check for $250 or go on our website, and I give you a receipt, and then you don't owe the money to the state. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know what us little grassroots guys would do without it. The QFCO has I think it's been around less than 10 years mm-hmm. itself, and it was really developed to really push money into the foster care or organizations in Arizona. And we're a very small group. The mm-hmm. QCOs are pages and pages and pages, and the QFCOs, there's less than 60 or 50 mm-hmm. in the entire state. And there's, I think, less than 10 of us in Tucson. It's hard to qualify for that category because you really have to have all of the things that you do go to children in foster care. So we worked really hard to get that, and we're very proud of it, and we love it again mm-hmm. because without it, we wouldn't be here. I would say 90 to 95% of the monetary donations we get come from those QFCOs. So think of us.
Right, absolutely. How can someone make a donation?
You can go onto our website, and if you prefer to pay by credit card, you can just boop right there, put in whatever amount you want, and you'll automatically get an emailed receipt with the tax credit information mm-hmm. and everything. You could also mail a check, and then I'll mail you a receipt back and information, and that's really it. It's that easy. And then I have some folks that like to give me a credit card over the phone, which is fine too. My phone number's on the website, but yeah, that's it. That's how you do it.
Before we start wrapping up today, tell me a bit about what you are hoping for moving forward with Spreading Threads and this partnership with Arizona Helping Hands. And I guess where do you see Spreading Threads heading into 2023 and
beyond?
This
is a hard one because I have like all these dreams.
lofty goals.
Yes. And they never go as fast as you want. Mm-hmm. I lost my mom last year, which mm-hmm. was really hard. And I used that inheritance to help purchase the building that we just got because we were operating out of a 2,000-square-foot facility. Mm. And we got a 5,000-square-foot facility right now, but which is great and awesome, and it's like what I wanted, but it's over 50 years old, and it had been abandoned for 4 years, so we've been working really hard to do a lot of the improvements ourselves. But the big thing right now is we don't have air conditioning.
Oh,
and
gosh.
So last summer was really rough. I grew up in Portland, Oregon, and I was telling you, man, I have never been so hot in my life. So that's the big one right now. But I, more and more building improvements. I want the facility to serve all the time. We've already had a couple of nonprofits use it for things, but I really want to deck it out. And it's a big open building, and all of my racks everything's mobile on wheels, so that I want to use it for foster care licensing classes or support groups or barbecues for group homes. So my dream is to really continue to improve that facility so it can serve. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to charge or anything, but I want it to serve this foster care community. I want it to be working every minute of the day that I'm not using it for something. And then someday maybe not to have any used clothes. Mm-hmm. We're creeping towards that ever so slowly, but we are just not big and robust enough to just go straight to new clothes. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to see that someday. And, hire some staff and... Mm-hmm. Do more programs and more outreach programs and stuff. And our VP was joking, we're gonna be needing to sell this building in a year. We're growing so fast, that would be great too. I'd love to have so much money into that. But that's the plan, is just to continue to grow alongside the other nonprofits that kind of were born about the same time as me, and let them use my building and share it and just. That's the plan.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what do you really want people to take away from our conversation today? And what do you want them to just know about the foster care system and Spreading Threads?
There's lots of ways to help. You don't mm-hmm. have to be a foster parent. You could be a mentor. You could be what we call a CASA, where it's kind of like a big brothers, big sisters program for kids in foster care. But there's a lot of really cool kids that just need people. They just need that connection. This pandemic has not been nice to kids mm-hmm. in foster care, particularly group homes. So if you think, it's just not my deal or whatever, there's something you can do. At any of our nonprofits, whether it's, you know, not just donating money, but come out and hang out or hang out with a kid or, you know, just get to know one of them. There's other nonprofits that work with kids in group homes. Just, it's really rewarding to get involved. And you don't realize how amazing these kids are. I mean, I think back to when I was young and I had a couple teachers that changed my life. And I do things for kids now and I think this may be one of those moments, like, I remember that moment. Like, I realized I actually can do this. Like, every time we do these events, I'm hoping something like that happens, an aha moment for a kid where a light goes on and they realize, I might be someone cool. I might be able to do this.
Yeah.
And if I can help facilitate that, because like I said, clothes are just clothes. But the whole reason behind creating Spreading Threads, sure, it was to clothe kids, but it was also to lift them up. And I just think they need people to do that. And if we can get involved in whatever capacity, even if you just share something about Spreading Threads or something we do on your social media, or you tell someone, you never know who they're going to tell or mm-hmm. who they're going to know. And it could change someone's lives. And that's it. Just don't think you can't do anything, because you can.
One more thing that I was curious about. So who all is doing the work with Spreading Threads? Are you like a volunteer group or is it just you and...
So, my home doesn't get cleaned nearly as much as Spreading Threads. So I am the only actual employee. Mm-hmm. But it's mostly myself and one other foster family that we've gone through this journey on that does the lion's share of the work. We do mm-hmm. have volunteers that come on the days of our events, one of which is Flowing Wells High School's Interact Club. It's part mm-hmm. of Rotary International. Those kids come once a month, and they're amazing. So we do have volunteers from other groups. But the day-to-day stuff really falls on me and my family. And it's a lot, sorting clothes yeah. and managing things. It's a labor of love. Like my kids, I've fostered and adopted all these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they volunteer at my events. They come and do things. They don't always want to. Sometimes I can't get them to. But, I really want to instill in them that it needs involvement from humans to continue mm-hmm. this. You know, I'm not going to be around forever. And it needs to be sustainable. So I'm a firm believer that if you can ignite that passion in people, it'll live on.
If there are people who are listening who would like to help out or have a community, like a community organization, like
yeah.
a club, like, is that something you can
yeah.
do? Yeah.
I if your organization or business or anything wants to do anything, I will come and talk to your business. I've done that. I've done that at different schools or clubs, lots of clubs I've spoken at, just to raise awareness about what's going on right now in the foster care system in the state of Arizona, and nationally for that mm-hmm. matter, and then just what some of the needs are. What's the demographic of it? What's out there? What can you do to help? Mm-hmm. I'm happy to do that.
Wonderful. Well, before we wrap up today, will you just share the best ways for people to find out more about Spreading Threads or get in contact with you?
Absolutely. Spreadingthreads.com. Check out the website. That took me a while to put together.
It looks great. It does.
Oh, thank you.
I think it looks really great.
Yeah, I tried to make it kind of colorful. And one last thing, when you do go to our website, so our logo was actually designed by the other family that runs this program with me's foster daughter. I think she was 12 at the time. And
oh, wow.
I told her, I'm like, I want you to draw something, you know, obviously with threads, hangers, you know. But just interconnected, that the reason it's called Spreading is because it's not just us. Spreading is all of us. It's Aviva. It's Arizona Helping Hands. It's all the foster parents. SpreadingThreads.com, and we're on all the social media platforms. And email or call if there's any questions or wanting to know anything more.
Perfect. All right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add on today?
Nope. Just happy holidays.
Awesome.
Think of me when you're doing your taxes, please.
That was Michelle Wright, the executive director and co-founder of Spreading Threads. And the website again is spreadingthreads.com. You've been listening to Lifestyle Tucson, and I am Mary. For more information about the Lifestyle Tucson program or to listen back to something you may have missed, go to the Sunday Mornings page at mixfm.com, kfma.com, klpx.com, or espntucson.com.